I think it's fair to say any one of us with a smartphone these days thinks we're a bit of an amateur photographer. But it's fair to say probably across the winter months it might all seem a little bit too hard. Well, not true, according to this young man, Ballarat's legendary photographer, and still the man to this day with Ballarat's best mustache and goatee. Mr. Jeremy Bannister. G'day, Jez.
Good morning, Brett.
Welcome along, mate.
Thank you.
Good to see you.
Nice to see you again.
I always say when I talk to you, I scratch the surface and there's just something else to discover. Last time you and I spoke multiple times, we were speaking about your rock and rolling photography career in London. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about winter pics in just a moment. But you're just back from Nepal. Mm. You've been there multiple times over multiple years for charity reasons. Mm. Tell us why.
I would always want to go to Nepal, and after the 2015 huge earthquake, which nearly decimated the country, thousands killed and huge damage, we were talking to a man called Graham Kent. He runs a charity called Aussie Action Abroad, and I said to Graham then...
He's a local guy, right?
He's a local, Buninyong bloke, And he's been going for 20-odd years, been hundreds of times, not hundreds, but you know what I mean, he's been many, many times. Yep. And I said, I've always wanted to go, and he said, well, why don't you come with me? And I went, well, all right. And I have, and basically I've tried to go every year since. So I take photography teams and just show them what a brilliant country it is.
And you haven't seen them across the pandemic, so how were they when you first jumped off the plane and said, we are back?
Oh, hugs and, they're so excited.
Great.
Because, the poor things have just been decimated by COVID, almost worse than anywhere because they rely so much on tourism and just been no one coming in. There's been no local economy. It's a terrible government and they just don't look after their people. And the place was falling apart, so it was really nice to be back.
So can Ballarat people help locals in Nepal today by getting involved with Aussie Action Abroad?
Absolutely, and we rely on volunteers. You pay to go and work, basically. It's one of those nice things where you work in schools or community centres or mothers' groups, and so we take education teams, we take construction, trekking, I take photography teams. Mm-hmm. It's just a really nice, worthwhile thing to do.
Yeah, good on you. Well, just another one of these strings to your bow, Jeremy. You're obviously heavily involved with Legacy, and we've spoken to you about that before as well. But search it up, folks, Aussie Action Abroad, and we must get Graham into the studio to have a more detailed chat at some stage, Jeremy. First of all, though, Mr. Bannister, I want to talk to you about winter photos. Now, I've got you in on the sunniest day Ballarat could possibly turn on, but often it's dull, it's dreary, it's dark, it's miserable. Can we possibly take good pics, especially when we don't have the professional gear?
Absolutely. People always assume that summer's the only time to get good photos. That's rubbish. The winter can almost be better because you get gloomy light and that can work really well. Yeah.
Really?
Look, everyone goes about how wonderful the sun in Australia is. A terrible for portraiture because the sun's so harsh.
Yeah,
it makes people squint and it's awful. It's terrible.
So you're saying each season has its pros and cons?
Absolutely. And we're lucky in Ballarat. We get four seasons, unlike a lot of other places, quite often in one day. So winter's brilliant because you get this beautiful low light and it's got a different feel to it too because there's less moisture in the air normally because of the less humidity. It's clearer. You get you can see better in early evening and early morning. When you do get the vapour, it's normally misty. And it can work beautifully.
Jeremy, I remember shots of you in your heyday at the Courier with six cameras over your shoulder and off to another job, etc. Is that still what it's like as a photographer, or are you happy with your phone these days?
Yes and no. It's a necessary evil. I'm always trying to have a camera with me, but if you don't, they're a really good backstop. And when I used to go to Nepal, I'd take all my cameras with me. And my carry-on luggage was 19 kilograms.
Oh, my goodness.
It was ridiculous. So I now take one camera with a huge zoom range, and it's wonderful. It's freeing. So you don't need a huge array of cameras. You can actually get away with a good little point-and-shoot or a semi-pro camera. The phone's a good backstop. They're remarkable what they can do now.
Yeah, good to know. Don't let the dark put you off.
No.
Search for just a little bit of colour.
Yes. A bit of spot colour works really well.
Yeah.
You can actually make it really good monochrome effects too. If you desaturate everything, you can get some beautiful effects with the blacks and the lake's always a good backstop for photography, especially in winter. You get a mist coming in the early mornings. It can look magnificent. And the greys and the blacks, it's going back to the original days of black and white photography where you can get beautiful effects. You don't need the vivid bright colours. That comes in spring and autumn. Winter's just another facet of that, and you get beautiful effects.
Jeremy, say you were up at Sparrows this morning for the sunrise, not a cloud in the sky over Ballarat.
Yep.
Where would you have headed?
The lake's always a beauty.
Yeah.
Mountains are great. Even buildings, you can get great silhouettes with things like that. it's wherever you are, just keep your eyes open, be attentive. And that's why I always tell my students that, you know, there's always something good around the corner, and just keep watching and looking. You, as I say, you don't need a huge range of cameras. The fact that the iPhones now are so good, I read somewhere recently, it was a bit saddening, that they're saying that pro DSLR cameras are on the way out. Because
No way, on the way out?
Yeah, they just don't, and especially mid-range ones.
Wow.
They're just not using them because people think the phone's good enough. The problem with that is that people take the photograph and quite often they just store them and never see them again.
We are all guilty of doing that, Jeremy, aren't we?
It's just sad.
Yeah. I must fess up, though. My wife and I have been very well behaved. I was telling you, we went to the Northern Territory recently. Mm-hmm. We got a myriad of, half-good photos.
Yeah, yep.
And we made one of those photo books and had it printed, and it was mailed back to us the other day. Yep. So, at least we've got sort of hard copy some of our pics to look
at. That's what I would encourage everyone to do. Instead of forgetting that, because everyone's got a great photo in their and their camera, whether it's family, landscapes, doesn't matter, pets, print them.
Yeah.
Get them printed. Because in the good old days, oh God, sounding old here, you take your roll of film down to the chemist and you get it printed and you have a physical copy.
And you'd have 24 photos and three of them would be any good.
Exactly right.
I've just paid $6.99 for that. It's
exactly.
Outrageous.
But you went to the trouble of printing them.
Yeah, we all did. It was just what we did, off to the chemist
exactly to
get it done. Jeremy, another one of your tips, and I like this, and I really haven't tried it before, is that framing is key. Have a steady hand and maybe use something to support the phone or the camera.
Look, there's always a... you can roll up your jumper and use that as put on the ground and shoot low. A fence post, up, lean against the building. It's funny, I actually taught the cops how to shoot in low light because when I was in an accident and they could never shoot in at night. And I explained to them how they did it and they said, just start shooting a gun. It's like hold it very steady, use your arms as a tripod and take half a breath, let it out and squeeze the shutter. Don't, and you see people jabbing at it.
Yeah, yeah.
Be gentle. And the phones nowadays, they actually have like a time exposure effect where it says hold your phone very steady and it'll do like a 2 or 3 second exposure. And instead of wobbling, it tends to sharpen it. It's quite extraordinary.
The tech is incredible.
It is.
No tech involved here, Jeremy, but another one of your tips is to get down low.
Yes.
I haven't really tried this yet, but I was speaking to our boss here at the radio station the other day when the tractors were out front for the AusNet protest last week.
Yep.
He got a couple of down low shots, and they look fantastic with the tarmac in front of the cameras.
Yeah.
The tractors.
It accentuates the height of things.
Yeah.
The other way, and especially here, being up on the first floor, shoot down from above looking down.
Oh, yeah.
But with winter... frosty grass, cobwebs with ice, not ice, but, like droplets on them.
Yeah, yeah.
If you get down low, you can actually get those shots and get beautiful effects with them.
Yeah.
It's really nice.
Jeremy, another one of your tips, again, that I haven't tried that I must because I'm a bit afraid of the tech, is you say go and fix it in post. By that, you mean use some technology to tidy up the image.
You can, but be careful.
Is it complicated? Do you have to buy a program?
No. It's all loaded onto your camera. Onto your phone.
Okay.
Isn't that terrible? That's a Freudian slip. It's all built in. The edit button underneath will give you a huge range. Just be careful. Most people will... I've got a friend in Pocker in Western Nepal who takes really lovely photos of a place called Fewer Lake, which is like Ballarat. It's a city around a lake with colourful boats and things like that. And he oversaturates and he claims he doesn't, but you can see straight away the colours are too vivid.
Mm.
It's like a kid's been let loose with textures and overdone everything.
So he makes them more vivid in post and you're saying, why are you doing that? You're wrecking the image.
And he says he doesn't, but I know that he does. You can pick it straight away. It's like, don't do that. Because the image should be good enough on its own without tinkering too much with it and using too many filters. I don't use Instagram for that reason because I don't like the way people lie with their photographs. They make them too vivid, too... it's not what you saw.
Yeah.
It's not a photograph. It becomes fine art, which is fine, but it's not a photograph.
So that authenticity, from your point of view, Jeremy, still needs to be there.
Well, coming from a newspaper background, we had a code of ethics where
of course you had to.
You had to represent what you saw. If it was proved to be untrue, you'd be in trouble with the board. It's like in your management as well, but you'd be caught up in front of the code of ethics board.
I'm speaking to legendary Ballarat photographer this morning, Jeremy Bannister. And Jeremy, you always cheer me up, but you did this morning because you came in and said, I reckon it's almost impossible, even with a great camera, to take a fantastic pic of a view, of a mountain range or something. Because I've tried that a lot, and you look at the view and you go, wow, and you look at your photo and you go, that's a bit disappointing.
It's one of the greatest drawbacks of photography. I don't know how you get around this. I tried it on Kokoda every time I'm in Nepal. It's fun, always fun taking groups over there. And this time of year when I was there a few weeks ago, the moisture's terrible in the air, so there's cloud everywhere, and occasionally it'll clear, and you see these mountains behind them, and you go, and every time you see them, it takes your breath away, and you try and get a photograph, and it looks terrible. There's a place called Nagarkot, which is just north of Kathmandu, which is a resort village, which looks out over the Himalayas, basically, and it's just the most beautiful view when you can see it. We saw cloud.
This is just Mother Nature messing with us.
And when it does clear, you think, that's great, that'll make a great photo. Yeah. No, it's rubbish.
It's good to know. I feel a whole lot better now.
It's very sad.
Thanks, Jess. Now, just to wrap up today, and I know you've brought some of your pictures in, Jeremy. We'll get some online because you want to show us what you can do on your iPhone via a professional camera.
Absolutely.
There's a little bit of difference, but not a whole lot?
Not a whole lot. What I love about pro cameras, you've got a choice of lenses. You're a little bit limited with telephone. The old dial phone.
You've gone all retro on us this morning, haven't you?
With a smartphone, the lenses are pretty good, and that's why you have three or five lenses on the back. They swap from focal length, wide angle to small telephoto. Mm. They're clever, but there's still nothing like a really good wide angle lens on a pro DSLR, and you can get beautiful effects with that from, I'll show you some examples later. I'll put them up for you.
That'd be great. I can see you fronting the, keep the SLR alive national campaign on behalf of all photographers everywhere. Now, to wrap up today, I guess use what Mother Nature has given us, early morning mist.
Yep.
Jeremy, frost on plants is a ripper. There would have been a bit of that this morning.
Yes, certainly was.
Getting close?
Yes, absolutely. People tend to stand back and have too much wasted space. If you've got a good subject, get in close. Either zoom in or physically get close. And that's the thing. That's, again, with newspaper photography, you learn to crop carefully and fill the frame with what you need, not with what the extraneous stuff you don't want.
And then we've spoken about sunrise. What about at the other end of the day with the long shadows?
Beautiful. You can get some gorgeous effects with the moonlight.
Yeah.
You get like a ring around them because of what I was saying about that, the cold moisture at night.
Mm.
So you get like this an annulus around the sun, the ring, the moon. And it looks beautiful.
Yeah.
But get something in the foreground or middle ground rather than just a shot of the moon, which is the most boring thing on earth.
Next level all of a sudden.
Exactly.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Great tips, Jeremy. Thank you for sharing those with us for free. I think we're all going to put the radio down and get out of here and go start taking some photos right now. Really good tips. You can use your professional camera, of course you can, but even if you've got a any sort of smartphone, give it a go. Use some of Jeremy's advice and see how you go. Why not start today? Jeremy, thanks for your time on Ballarat today.
Thanks again, mate.